Blog Talk Radio.
Living in the moment.
Welcome to Teachable Moments with your host, Amber Waters Porter. Prepare to enjoy conversations and practical discussions with biblical principles that inform, inspire, and lift your spirits to new heights. Listen weekly as you live in the moment and allow God to speak wisdom to your life. Now, find your moment with your host, Amber Waters Porter.
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Welcome back to Teachable Moments. I'm your host, Amber Waters Porter. Tonight, we are picking up with what should have happened last week, but we had Apostle Favor finishing up his lessons. We were supposed to have our questions. So we are picking up with that, with Mama Says, Pastor Carolyn Porter, doing her questions. And we're going to get right into the show. But before that, welcome, Pastor Porter. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful, Amber. Thank you for asking. God bless you.
God bless you, too. We're going to, I'm going to ask you, in light of what has just happened less than 3 hours ago, I guess it's been 2 hours, or and some change in New York. There has been what they believe so far is a terrorist attack, and 8 people have been killed, and a number of people have been hurt. And so before we get into our questions, I'm just going to ask you, you know, it's nothing too grand or nothing can wait for prayer. If you can just whisper a little prayer for New York and the people who've been, the families of the people who have been hurt and killed as well. And for the whole United States. Can you do that, Pastor?
Certainly, certainly.
Okay, go ahead.
Our Father, we bless and praise your name for all things great and small. It is now that we call upon you with heavy hearts and great concern for the United States of America, as well as every other continent, every other area in the world. We ask you, Father, to outstretch your hands over those whose hearts are heavy and tears are running down their faces, grieving and mourning what seems to be unnecessary crime, unnecessary death. We don't know to whom to turn or what to say. So we look to you, to the hills, from whence cometh our help, and we ask you for divine intervention. Give the leaders a better understanding of how to dissipate this, how to settle and to solve. I know your word declares peace, peace. We will be looking for peace, and there is no peace. But we are connected and committed to the Prince of Peace. And we ask you to extend your hand. We plead for mercy. We plead for grace. We plead for help for those who are helpless. In the name of Jesus the Christ, again, Lord, please have mercy. Remember those in New York, New Jersey, and the surrounding areas that are so affected by what's happened here recently today, as well as the other cities and states and areas that are being affected by this horrible, horrible spirit that comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. We thank you for hearing our prayer. We thank you for the answer. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I so say amen.
Amen. Thank you for the prayer. So tonight is questions, and we've got some questions. And in light, again, in light of what has happened today, I'm going to start off a question that someone wanted an answer to about terrorist attacks or just attacks in general. And so the question is, since the attacks in Las Vegas, I've been afraid to travel, as well as hyper-vigilant about my surroundings. Is this normal? Is this God trying to protect me, or is it a spirit of fear gripping me?
Well, it stands to reason, with all this upsetment and upheaval in the world today, Las Vegas and even now New York, it certainly is natural and normal to be distressed, to be upset, and to be concerned. I don't want to say that, question of the comment, is it normal? I think it is. I'm not sure that it's God trying to protect you or give you a spirit of fear, but the mere fact that we have that emotion of fear, fear is what grips us in the face of danger. And this is a dangerous time, and dangerous things are happening. So I would say, yeah, yes, it's normal to be concerned, to be a little fearful. But by the same token, we that are born again and spirit-filled and that are leaning on the Lord and coming into a fuller grace and understanding of his word can turn to the word where he says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. So we just have to trust the Lord in the face of all that's going on. And yes, we do need to be hyper-vigilant. We need to cover ourselves, make sure that we are accompanied by someone or we accompany someone else that's going in or coming out, traveling. We need to be mindful of our surroundings and where we're going, where we've been, who's there, et cetera, and et cetera. But again, the scripture tells us to fear not. He tells us that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So we just have to take his word and put it in our pocket, wrap it around our heart, and speak and declare it as we go.
So I wanted to ask a question just to add on to that. Sometimes some people have premonitions. I have premonitions more than I wish I did sometimes. But how do I ask this? If I had a premonition, or if I'm having a lot of permissions, or that thing that says don't go, or maybe I shouldn't go today, that many times has spared people lives because
absolutely,
they missed something. But what if it happens more often? Is that just how do you deal with that? Is that really something or the Holy Spirit or whatever trying to pull you back to keep you from walking into danger, or are you just being fearful?
I tend to think that, again, I'm addressing those that are spirit-filled or those who really have a relationship with the Lord. And he certainly will warn you, as you said, to have premonitions of whether it's a dream or just have a sense. Or many times the Holy Spirit himself will speak to you and tell you not to go there or to be still or to wait. So I don't think it's a spirit of fear. I think it's I just think it's the Holy Spirit doing what he does. And the Bible says, after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall have power. Yes. Power to be witnesses, and this we're prepared to make disciples. But there's a part of the Holy Spirit that is a function of the Holy Spirit, that he's a teacher, he is a guide, he's a leader, and he brings back to our remembrance. So whether it's a dream or whether it's the Holy Spirit or maybe it's just a warning from our parent or a teacher of someone, be careful in certain areas. I think we need to be very conscious and cognizant of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Does that answer your question?
It answers my question, and I have another question that's not on the list.
Okay.
Okay. So in the event that a person who is spirit-filled goes out and they're involved in the accident, whether they're hurt or whether or not, and there was no, killed or not, I meant to say, whether they're hurt or whether they're killed, and there was no premonition and there was no pull or no hesitation, no caution, no premonition to not go or not do,
How do you deal with that thing? It was God's will.
First of all, one thing that I had to come to grips with several years ago, particularly when I lost one of my grandchildren, a grand triplet, and that is this, believe it or not. First of all, every person that comes through to planet Earth comes with a certain number of days. That's real. Mm-hmm. Now, most folk don't focus on that, think about it. That concern doesn't cross their mind as they're living their life. But each baby, each child, each person that comes into this world only comes with so many days. Mm-hmm. So whether it's 3 days, 3 years, 30 years, 70 years, 103 years, that's all you get. Now, granted, I tend to think, and we look at some of these children or kids, or people that are doing things that are illegal and you know, they're living their lifestyle in a dangerous manner. Well, and they're disrespectful, and the Bible says if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
So people don't believe that. But we may not know how we're going to exit planet Earth, but we will. Now, I know the Bible tells us to honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon this earth. And yet we see children that are very disrespectful to not just parents that brought them into this world, but any adult, any authoritative or parental person that just they don't have no regard. And you can just stand there and almost see them running down the path to destruction. Whereas if they were mindful, patient, obedient, they may have a few extra days added to their lives. You understand what I'm saying?
Huh. I wonder how that goes if they only have a certain number or God already knew.
Well, let's take scripturally. There was Hezekiah. Hezekiah had X amount of days. Amen?
Yeah.
And when his time was up, God sent the prophet Isaiah to tell him to set your house in order, because you shall surely die. That's scripture. But the scripture also says, when Isaiah delivered the message, he turned to leave. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and began to entreat the Lord and tell him, I've lived righteously before you. And he asked the Lord, God, to extend his days. And God told the prophet, turn around, go back. Tell him, one, I've seen his tears. Two, I've heard his prayers. Three, and I'm going to extend 15 years to his life. So there you have it. He came here with a certain amount of days, but he lived righteously, upright before the Lord. He was able to state his case before the Lord. God honored his request and granted him long life.
Well, thank you. We kind of got off on that question. It took a little bit more time, but it's okay. It's all right. So we're going to go on to the next question.
Okay.
I hope the person has gotten their answer. The next question says, how do you know for sure when the Lord is leading you to speak a word of knowledge to another person?
I would reference this person over to in the Bible to 2 Corinthians. Well, actually, it's 1 Corinthians. I want to say the 12th. This is the 12th chapter where it's spoken that I would not have you ignorant concerning the gifts. I'm talking about, actually, I'm speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Lord says, or the word of the Lord says, that we are not to be ignorant concerning, and it goes on and gives the diversities of the various gifts of the Spirit. And one of them is the word of knowledge. Okay? So if we're, and these gifts, we're talking about knowledge now, but the other gifts besides all operate in the discipline of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, it's not like you just wake up today and say, I want to say something. I didn't stand up and go to babbling or go to talking about what you don't know. When the Holy Spirit gives you a word, when one is to speak a word of knowledge, or if it's a word of wisdom, or speak healing into someone's life or whatever, it has to come via the Holy Spirit. So if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit and operating in the Holy Spirit, shut up and sit down. That's my best advice. And if you don't know that it's the Holy Spirit directing you to speak, then again, shut up and sit down, because he does not behave himself unseemingly. Make sense?
Okay, and I'm going to take that question a step further. Are there dangers in doing that?
And what, shutting up, sitting down? Or just standing up, running your mouth? Yes. There are people that may not, because the Lord gives you a word of knowledge concerning some time, it may not be expedient to even speak it. All things lawful is not expedient. Sometimes you know something about somebody, whether the Holy Spirit is a revelation or you just know because you're intelligent. It doesn't necessarily mean you sort of stand up and blab that in front of the world or stand up and embarrass them with it. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
The Holy Spirit, remember this, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. And whatever he does, whatever he speaks, it is to bring glory to Jesus Christ, not to embarrass and not to humiliate. That's not to say the correction is not in order. I'm not talking about correction now. I'm just speaking about, just generally speaking, about a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom.
Okay. So I have another question.
Okay.
That is actually one of the first questions is, the question is, what is your opinion of prophecy schools? Do they really work?
I'm going to refer that question back to the scriptures. Let's go over to the first book of Kings, I believe it is, Kings chapter 4. Actually, it's 2 Kings in the 4th chapter, where we have a situation where the widow comes to the prophet, and she tells the prophet her situation, which is her husband was part of his school.
Hmm.
Okay. So here we have a place of learning, mentoring, teaching. Yes. So to answer your question, I do believe that there is a place for learning. Mm-hmm. Now, you have to be careful, cautious. Make sure you're in the right, with someone who's operating in the right spirit. But again, I'm referring you back to 2 Kings chapter 4. First verse is, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And she says, and thou knowest that this servant did fear the Lord. And she goes on to state her problem. The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons as bondsmen. I'm not dealing with the bondsmen piece. I'm just showing you that here we have a man of God who had, shall I say, matriculated among other prophets, young prophets, to learn the word of the Lord, how to deal effectively in the prophetic. That answer your question?
Okay, so I just want to clarify. So
There are schools or places where you can go learn how to do it, how to prophesy appropriately, scripturally.
And again, I want to say, all this is via the Holy Spirit. If the gift of prophecy is laid on you, fine. We do need it to be guided.
Right.
I'm talking about people, the prophet, young prophets. So those, you can be 50 years old, but I'm saying young in the gift, the use of the gift, the understanding of it. So we do need to be guided, we need directions and understanding. Like I said a moment ago, all things lawful got expedience. You may be operating in the prophetic, but you just can't just jump up and go interrupting the service, run up and down the aisle howling, and tell somebody what the Lord prophetically is saying. You need someone to tell you again, sit down, shut up, listen. This is how we do this. We do things decently in order. The Holy Spirit may give good prophecy for someone, and again, it's to bring glory and understanding, clarity to that person. Mm-hmm. It's not to cause confusion or upsetment. Answer your question?
Yeah, I just was trying to stipulate that exactly what it's there to learn and to learn how to do it decently in order, not necessarily to go to prophecy school to learn how to prophesy.
The prophetic word has to come through the Holy Spirit.
Right. I was just trying to stipulate that difference, or have you stipulate that difference, not to go and learn how to prophesy so that you can become known as a prophet or prophetess, and then people are following you to get a word because you've gone somewhere and you've learned how to do it as if you've gotten a degree in it or something.
Exactly. And that's exactly what people have done. They go somewhere and sit under somebody and pay them. No, this is not a gift you pay for.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're not supposed to use it to make money.
Exactly.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you said it. You want to say it again?
Yeah, you're not supposed to use the gift of prophecy, as so many people do, to make money, to benefit yourself, to pump yourself up. The word of the Lord is to give glory to God the Father, Jesus the Son, through the Holy Ghost.
All right. What do you, don't let anybody prostitute your gift.
Don't let anybody do what?
Prostitute your gift, or don't you prostitute your gift.
That's right. Don't prostitute the gift, and don't allow anyone to see the gift in you and then put you out there and pump you up and they'll prostitute you because you have something that they don't have, and he'll use it. The devil does not play fair. He doesn't care how he embarrasses the kingdom of God.
Good answer, good answer. Moving right along, this person wants to know, what is the best translation of the Bible to read, King James Version or others? I guess they're, and I'm saying it's not them, they're having a little bit more difficulty reading King James Version, or I know people who feel bad if they don't read King James Version, as if everything else is watery. What the word is watered down. What do you say?
I think King James is an interpretation of the word, and it's been around forever and a day. And it's most commonly used, everybody, you know, the B's and therefores and thou's and arts. It's fine. But I encourage anyone, particularly those that are new to the church or new to reading the word, to get a good study Bible. And that can be, and I'd really like recommend the parallel where you have King James on one side and you may have the International on the interpretation as well as the Living Bible or maybe even the Amplified. And basically, it gives you a clearer understanding because some of the jargon, some of the wording that they used back then are not, it's colloquial, it's not used today. So if you have two or three different interpretations there, you can get maybe a clearer and a more simplified understanding of what the writer is saying.
So I guess don't feel bad if you're not reading the King James, like you said, all the vowels, the arts, and the, you know, therefore. Don't feel so bad. Like, and that's speak to the other interpretations. They're not watered down, or are they?
No, I don't think they are. Now, but you know, there are so many, many, many interpretations. That's why you need, and I recommend that you keep King James right there beside you, so you can refer back. If you can read "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want," you don't particularly need to read that in the Amplified or in the New International Interpretation, because that's plain and simple. I understand. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But there are other scripture verses that are a little more complicated that you may, particularly the letters that Paul writes, some of the things that he says, you might need to, I need to have the Amplified Bible beside me to read it in plain English, you know?
All right.
So, but whatever, word, and then after the other interpretation, you might need to go get a history book, encyclopedia, or Google if necessary, to tell you what was going on at that time, why he said that, what was the, what's the word I want to use, what was the, yes, the customs of the day. Why did they say, you know, they made a bargain. Even in the book of Ruth, they were agreeing whether Naomi's daughter-in-law could marry another man, and they put their hand under their thigh. Well, what does that mean? That means nothing to us today. But if you get your history and go to reading that with the custom of that day when they made an agreement, put your hand under your thigh or whatever it may have been. So you need an other interpretation. If you don't understand it, get other interpretations and then get a history book of what was going on at that time. Mm-hmm.
Help yourself along. What is your favorite besides the King James Version? Just asking.
My first favorite is the Amplified, and the second is the Amplified and the Message Bible and the Living Bible.
And the which one?
Living, the Living Bible.
Okay.
The Living Word. I love all of them. And so sometimes when I'm studying for something, I have five or six Bibles all surrounding me on the bed on the table because I want to get a good understanding. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Unto God, a workman that needeth
not
be ashamed.
Rightly dividing.
Correctly dividing the word of truth.
Well, we had another question, but we'll push it back until next week. That's all we have time for today. Not next week, until the fourth. Every fourth Tuesday that you're on. We will be on next week, but on the second Tuesday of November, I will be heading towards Church of God in Christ International Convocation in St. Louis. So I will not be on the radio. However, send in your questions, theoneteachablemoment@gmail.com, and we'll try to get them on the next time that we have questions. Thank you, Pastor Porter. Hopefully you'll be back on next week for your Mama Says segment. Thank you all. Have a wonderful night. And until next week, find your moment. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.